There was a young girl who for the first time went to church with her father. She wasn't even in school yet and told her father, "Dad, I feel like I'm going to throw up." And he goes, "Well, go to the bathroom downstairs." And she exits the door in the foyer and comes back in less than a minute. "And how did you make it back so fast?" He goes, "That's okay, Dad. I saw there was a box outside for the sick." Don't think about it too much. It's kind of graphic. But the typical misunderstanding about church, religion, is apparent. In fact, one of the greatest miracles I hear every Sunday is when I open the doors, there's about 25 people. When I come up for the gospel, there's a lot more. You guys multiply when I turn my back. So it's always joyful to see this multiplication happen and joyful for you to be there. But I've heard one philosopher say, "Well, I don't believe in this crutch called religion that just stops me from doing anything." I think, what a horrible thing. Who do you think built many of the universities, hospitals, nursing homes, who worked on the Genome Project and all kinds of endeavors? The father of astronomy was a priest. So who do you think worked on all these things? There's an old saying, pray as if everything depended on God and work as if everything depended on you. True religion is not a lazy religion. It gives you impetus. It gives you a reason. It gives you purpose, and God himself gives you his grace. It's interesting that among all the religious leaders who gave methodologies and ways of living, Jesus himself alone said, "I am the way, the truth, and the light. I will give you power." So we seek the supernatural grace from God. And religion is not simply something, but it's someone. It's our relationship with each other and with God. And one of the most misunderstood things about religion is that people often confuse pain with repentance and pleasure with sin. It is not so. Pleasure and pain are attached to both good things and bad things. In fact, there is a wonderful book about a young devil learning to tempt people, written by C.S. Lewis. It was called The Screwtape Letters. And the young devil was being taught how to twist things. And this is the older one, and I'm going to quote it from C.S. Lewis's work. This is the evil one speaking. "God is a hedonist at heart. He makes no secret of it. At his right hand are pleasures forevermore. He's vulgar, Wormwood. He has a bourgeois mind. He has filled his world full of pleasures. There are things for humans to do all day long. Sleeping, washing, eating, drinking, playing, praying, working. Everything has to be twisted before it's of any use to us." And how it is often twisted? It's like the guy who looks at the Mona Lisa and says, "You know what? That's a beautiful painting. There's about 2 pounds of paint on it. And if you put one more pound on it, it would be great." We like to think because there is more, it is better. I drank 20 beers last night, boy. What a man. I'm 2 feet tall. I'm 10 feet tall. Now there's an accomplishment height. I'm strong. I can lift 500 pounds. How about taking care of yourself so that you're happy, so that you're joyful? Pain is not repentance. Just because I feel bad that I was caught or something hurts me because I did something silly or even stupid, that doesn't mean I'm sorry for what I did. Being sorry for what you do is to enter the arena and to struggle with those things deep in your heart that are there to ruin you, that are there to cause you pain. When I was young, I thought sin was breaking the law. As I got older, I began to see sin is breaking hearts and relationships. It's shattering trust. It's developing a sadness about my life that needs to be changed. And it's changed by virtue, by a good life, in which there is a lot of pleasure, a lot of joy, and a lot of laughter. If you don't think it's so, later on, think of that poor girl giving her donation to the sick. Slava Isusu Christu.